I'm Stephen John Drew from Better Podcasting, a podcast about podcasting, part of the Gunna Geek Network. Just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find fantastic geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, where nominally we talk about video games based on comic properties, but in all actuality, for something like the past 6 years, it feels like, I have pretty much just done bonus episodes where I'm talking to cool people about their cool stuff. You know, like today, where I'm talking to Jim Ousley about his cool Kickstarter, The Atonement Bell. Hey Jim, how are you today?
I'm doing good, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I actually meant to sound more exciting like that, but I don't feel like going back and recording it again. So, yeah, we're just going to roll
with it. I'm just happy that you put me in the cool category.
I mean, pretty much by definition, if I'm taking the time to talk to somebody about this, then they get to be in the cool category.
Well, I appreciate that. It's very much appreciated by me, who doesn't see himself as a cool person. So thank you.
Well, you are coming on here for your second round of, hey, I'm making something on Kickstarter. And from what I can remember, because I don't feel like looking it up right now and making the clicky-clicky noises with the keyboard, I'm pretty sure the first person to come back for something completely different.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
No, it's not. I can't remember. No, you're not.
Okay. I can't remember the last time I was on the show what I was... promoting, if that was the Dead Palace or Butcher Queen.
It was Butcher Queen.
Oh, okay, the first one then. Okay, very cool. Yeah, that was that ended up being a successful Kickstarter and ended up getting published by Red 5 Comics. So that was really great, and it was podcasts like this that helped us get the word out, which is essential with these Kickstarters, you know, because especially when, you know, like last year when everything was in lockdown, this was the only avenue to talk about what you were doing and talk about what you were creating, you know. So again, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have somebody who's willing to talk about their stuff. And as much as the past year and a half, I think, has really sucked as far as almost everything in the world goes, it has been good for, you know, people coming on podcasts like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, in this day and age, it's the best way to get information out to a lot of people. And the Atonement Bell is something that I really, really want to work hard to ring the bell for, as it were, to let people know about, because I'm really proud of it. And it's something quite different for me, and certainly different than the past two Butcher Queen series that I did. So yeah, I'm very excited to talk about it.
Well, what is the quick little elevator pitch for The Atonement Bell?
The Atonement Bell concerns a grieving mother and son who are going to visit a strange family in the city, and they unknowingly become involved in a conflict between a coven and an inner city church. And it probably has some of my favorite characters that I've ever had the chance to write for. And it really covers a lot of things that are important to me. It covers, for one thing, it's a horror story, and horror is my favorite genre. I love ghost stories. I love stories about, you know, witches and covens, and I'm fascinated by the idea of how much religion impacts our decision-making and how it impacts family and the limits to which we go through for family, for each other. You know, what will we do and what will we not do? And this story covers all of that. And Yeah, it's just very, very exciting. It's the kind of story that you can kind of enjoy in multiple levels, I think. On one hand, if you're a horror fan and you're looking for a fun story, I think this is definitely it. If you're looking for a story, if you're someone that, you know, reads comics not only for the main narrative, but also for some sort of detailed subtext, you will definitely find that in this book. So I'm quite anxious to put it out. And in a way, that's kind of why I wanted to work with a new artist. My friend Benjamin Sawyer, who I've worked with forever on, you know, The Dead Palace and Butcher Queen, Black Star City, and Butcher Queen, Planet of the Dead. I decided to work with someone new on this one just so that he and I could have a break from working on Butcher Queen. I know he's doing some game design stuff, and I was really burning to tell this story. And I didn't want to stop working, so I contacted Raymond Estrada, who's a artist out in Los Angeles, and pitched him the story, and he really liked it. And I pitched it to Ed Dukeshire, who's my letterer, who worked on Bone Parish and Red Mother. And just am really lucky to work with these guys on this new story. So for me, in a lot of ways, even though I've made comics before, this really feels like a brand new experience for me. And that's great.
How long have you had this story sitting in your head just waiting to come out?
You know, initially, it kind of began with a screenplay that I wrote called The Angels of Warwick. And the screenplay was quite different, and it was more like, I kind of just wrote it for me, in a way. It was more like a tone poem, you know, in a way. It was very atmospheric and very slowly paced, which is what I kind of like in movies. But when I wanted to do a comic book series, I found that what I had in there just didn't work. And so I kind of took a couple of the characters that I really kind of fell in love with and recast them in this new idea that I had. And it really just began to flow. And I just kind of rode that flow into the end and developed a really cool outline and got to work on the first issue. And it's been a blast ever since. It really has been a long evolution, though, to get to this point. And I couldn't be happier with where it's at now, to be honest with you.
So is this one coming as like issues at a time, like Butcher Queen was when I got in on it, or is this a graphic novel size deal?
It'll come out in issues. It'll be a 4-issue series. That's what we're planning for now. You know, with the Kickstarter, if the Kickstarter just goes completely over, you know, the amount and goes, you know, really crazy, which would be delightful. It could potentially be a 5-issue series. But right now it's a 4-issue series, and it works really great as a 4-issue series. That's kind of the way it was planned anyway. And so, yeah, that's the plan right now. And Red 5 Comics will be publishing it ultimately.
So do you work with them for pretty much everything?
You know, Red 5 was the first publishing contract that I ever had. My first work with the publisher. Before that, it was always self-publishing. You know, going through Kickstarter, I did a action comedy anthology called The Rough and Tumble, which I believe is on Comixology. It was on Amazon. And I did that. And then I went on my own to do The Dead Palace, which was a horror anthology with Benjamin Sawyer. And then what happened was we ended up pitching The Dead Palace to Red 5. And they said, well, you know, horror anthologies are a little bit rough for a series. Is there anything that you have in that anthology that you think would make a good series on its own? And I was like, oh my gosh, well, Butcher Queen. Butcher Queen is the obvious answer to that, because it's a great set of characters, and it's got a place to go, and it's got a little bit of a history, because it kind of began in the Dead Palace. And we pitched the first series to them, the idea for the first series, and they really liked it, and they published it. And we ended up debuting it at the San Diego Comic-Con in 2019. which was a blast because that was my first time. I think Ben had been there a number of times before, but that was my first time, and it was so much fun. It was just, if you're a comics fan, you know, it's like Mecca. You've got to go at least once. It was just overwhelming to see how many creators were there and how many heroes were there. Like, I met Marv Wolfman and so many people. It was just amazing. And then Planet of the Dead came out last year and wrapped up this past January. And now I'm working on the Atonement Bell. And I'd never been so anxious to continue working on something and to release something like I am with the Atonement Bell, because it really hits all of my my happy spots. It pushes all my horror buttons and character buttons quite nicely. So I'm excited.
Well, seeing what y'all did with Butcher Queen and with Dead Palace, you've set the bar rather high for yourself.
Yeah, you know, Ben Sawyer, like I said, we're good friends, and he's a great artist, and we'll probably at some point, I would like to anyway, do a third Butcher Queen series at some point. I've got a great third and final series in mind for that, but we'll have to see how we both, you know, feel about it next year, whenever we start to talk about that kind of stuff again. But I wanted to work with someone different, mostly just to have a new experience. Working in comics for me is all about telling stories and getting things off my chest, but it's also having a cool new life experience, you know. And so working with Raymond Estrada so far, it has been that way. You know, you're working with a different person who has different ideas, and you kind of develop a different working relationship and rhythm. And it's great. It's really super interesting. And I think he's really, even though he lives in Los Angeles, he's really copacetic with the idea of a personal story that takes place in a city. You know, certainly St. Louis is a city that's had its share of strife and division over the years, and that certainly plays into, without giving too much away, it certainly plays into the story and adds a little gravity and a little sand, if you will, to the story that's taking place.
I mean, this is even not adding spoilers for me, because what you sent over, beautiful stuff, definitely hooks me, but there's absolutely no words in what you sent me over except for like on people's shirts. So I'm really excited to see what's right. Going on.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know, I don't want to I don't want to give anybody too much information, mostly because I just want you to enjoy it. You know, like when we had the first issue completely finished, if you want to see it, I'll certainly send you one, you know, but I'd rather want you to be surprised and enjoy the experience like everybody else, you know? So, you know, you can tell me what you want to do, but that's between me and you. But as far as the spoilers, yeah, this is a story, this 4-issue series, every issue ends with, an ending that's like, what the hell, what's going to happen next, you know? And the story itself has a lot of twists and turns, and it doesn't depend on them. They're very organic. They go with the story. But as you follow Jake, who's our 14-year-old protagonist, his cousin, Baby Al, and Baby Al's friend from the neighborhood, Sarah, who's a Bosnian girl whose parents own a store in the neighborhood, you learn a lot about the city, the community, and how they get drawn into this completely crazy situation that you find out has gone on for centuries. So, keeping a secret is part of the fun of telling the story, you know, and you want people to see it and enjoy it on that level, you know, to be, have surprises revealed to them as opposed to story points being telegraphed. And I really work hard to make that good. So whether it's good or not, you know, you could be the judge of that. Hopefully you like it. But it is something I work hard at, though, yeah.
Well, I've liked everything I've gotten from Kickstarter so far. And, I mean, part of it might just be because I have good taste and get people on the show that make good things.
Cool. I would agree.
But that's also why I tell y'all to send me enough. Like, I don't expect somebody to come on here and have absolutely everything finished when it's just going to be hitting Kickstarter. Actually, you know what? I think you're the first person to talk to me for a Kickstarter thing where the Kickstarter hasn't even happened.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So everybody else has at least started. Will,
I think when this airs, it'll be either the day before or the day that it starts, I think. So that's perfect. You're the first person to see this stuff outside of me and Raymond and Ed Dukeshire, so.
Oh, I feel special now.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, we've been working on it for a while, so it's fun to finally reveal some of it to people and get the reaction from it, just the basic first looks at stuff. So that's such a fun part of, making stuff for people. And I'm sure you feel this way about your podcast. You know, you love to do it because, you know, you're making somebody happy. You're giving them something in their life to enjoy. And I think that's, you know, for people like you and I and everyone else that makes stuff, you know, that can't be underestimated. That's really important, I think. You know, we're making life fun, and that's good.
Definitely. I mean, there's a reason why I don't have Patreon exclusive stuff, because I'm going to end up sharing it with other people anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the fun. That's the interesting thing about Kickstarter, and also just having like working with a publisher, is that you just want to give everybody everything. You know, you want to give everybody everything that you have as it happens. But in a case like this, it's best when it's all wrapped up and ready to reveal itself and be told properly. So, but I totally get it, man.
So how many times did you accidentally start to call Ben when you had an art thought?
Oh, you know, it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened at all, actually. If I talk to Ben, I you know, I'll send him a funny meme or ask him, you know, there was one thing I needed some coloring on, and he was kind enough to do that for me on something else. Or, you know, if someone's looking for an artist, I'll say, hey, how about Ben? You know what I mean? It's more on that kind of stuff. So I've got a relationship with him outside of projects, which is good. So, yeah, with any art questions or anything else, it's been, for this project anyway, it's been exclusively with Raymond. And I'm pretty good about that. I'm pretty good about knowing who I need to work with on a specific question or story point or anything like that. So no accidents yet.
Oh, I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
Probably a sleepy Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah. I can totally see myself doing that. Yeah, you're right.
So how did you find Raymond for this one?
You know, Raymond, he's got a series coming out this month, actually, on Red 5 Comics called The Box with Joshua Starnes, who's also the publisher of Red 5 Comics. And Josh was showing me some of the artwork, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy is so good. And I'm working on this horror script, and this is kind of the way that I see the artwork. And it was just one of those really great moments where it's got this synergy where you've got something in your head that you've been imagining, and you see it right in front of you in a style that you can relate to the story. And I was like, oh, man, can you get me his contact information? And I was hoping against all hope that he wouldn't be busy, that he wouldn't be, so crowded with projects that he wouldn't be able to work with me. And luckily he was able to work with me, and it's been fantastic. So I really feel lucky to get Raymond on board, and Ed, because he's lettered so many great books that it's, like I said, it's a brand new experience. It's always a learning experience when you work with somebody new. And that's really valuable, I think, if you want to grow and get better at what you do.
I mean, just looking through the art that you sent over, especially the one page. Crap, this thing is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's really, yeah, for people that have, you know, backed us before or fans of Butcher Queen or anything like that, this is going to be quite a different experience. But I think people are really going to be surprised and they're really going to enjoy it. He's got such a great eye for this kind of story, and that's what makes him perfect. And every time he sends a page, it's like a treat, you know, even just the inks. Like the inks that he sends are just like, wow, this is really spectacular stuff. Just, you know, a completely different realm than like Butcher Queen. And not you know, better or worse. It's just a completely different thing. And that's great. That's what you want when you work with somebody new.
Oh, exactly. I mean, if you wanted Butcher Queen art again, you would have just stuck with Ben.
Sure, yeah.
I'm sure that would have worked too, but yeah, it's nice to have something else.
I think so, yeah. And I think once the campaign debuts on Tuesday, August 10th, and you'll get an even better look at what Raymond has to offer, you know, as an artist. And obviously people that back the campaign will be getting updates, and they'll be the first to see new art. And it's really fun. And it's not only Raymond. We actually have two other really great artists, three artists that are doing some great work with the campaign. One of them is Steens. I'm not sure if you've heard of her before. She was the artist for a book, an award-winning book called Archival Quality. And she's doing one of our prints. She's fantastic. This artist named Misimo, Christian Misimo Misi, he's done a print for us, and Raymond has done a really great Latoria print for us that kind of like showcases all of the characters in the story. And a gentleman by the name of Thomas Hegland, I hope I'm not butchering his last name, but he's doing our Kickstarter variant cover, which I don't know if I've sent you that or not. I think that I did. A look at the Sovereign Witch and two of her associates, and there's like they're around these candles. And anyway, that's a Kickstarter exclusive variant, and that means that, you know, the people that back our Kickstarter, they will get this issue, and they're the only ones that'll get this cover. It's not going to be on the Red 5 store. It's not going to be on any site. It's not going to be in any stores. It's just for them. So when you back the campaign, you get something completely exclusive. And I love that kind of stuff. So hopefully our backers will too.
You did send me that one. And if anybody doesn't like it, I want to know what they're looking at, because they're obviously not looking at the right thing.
Yeah, it's really great. And I think one thing that we'll do that we haven't really talked about is the first week of the campaign, everyone who backs the campaign gets the original pencil sketch version of that cover, a print of that. And it's beautiful. I mean, just when he first sent me the pencils, when Thomas first sent me the pencils for the variant cover, I was like, man, I wanna frame this. It looks so cool. And so I thought, well, we'll make a print of that for people that back us the first week. So yeah, there you go. Just so many talented people. And that's what's so fun about working in comics, is the community and getting to work with really, really cool artists whose work you love, and who kind of like, you know, they agree to work with you and make some cool art and tell some cool stories. And just thrilled about it.
Well, that's a beautiful little segue, because I was going to ask you about rewards anyway. Obviously, things can change because you've got a few days before the campaign goes live. But what are the major plans for rewards right now?
We've got all kinds of rewards. We've got the various prints that I told you about. We have character cards done like, I hope I'm not mispronouncing this. This is Raymond's idea. but they're Loteria cards. It's kind of like a Spanish or Mexican card game. And they're kind of designed in that fashion. We've got this great Sovereign Witch skullhead, Atonement Bell kind of heavy metal t-shirt, which looks really cool. I don't know if I sent you that. I don't think I sent you that one. We've got a coffin box set where you get like a coffin box with all the issues, all the prints, you know, the Atonement Bell button, all that kind of stuff that you'd expect. We're doing a couple of unusual things too. And if you live in St. Louis, which is where I'm from, there's a level where me and a couple musician friends, we come to your house. We play some music for you, some originals, some songs at your request. We talk about the Atonement Bell, what it was like to work with Raymond, you know, whatever questions that anybody would have. And I also wrote this really goofy haiku book last year during lockdown called I Wrote a Haiku About It. And I post these really goofy haikus online, and people were always telling me, you should make that into a book. And so I did. And so at the party, I'll be reading, you know, from the haiku book and everything else. So it's it's really, and they're so distasteful. But so we're doing that. And there's one where I think we have, we take the another St. Louis-based one where we take you out to dinner and take you comic shopping. And so lots of really cool merch, lots of cool, like, you know, opportunities and experiences and anything we can do to make it fun, we do. One of the levels, for example, has the, you can get the out of print Dead Palace anthology. So yeah, there's all kinds of really cool stuff that you can get as a backer, and that'll be all on display on Tuesday, August 10th.
So short of me offering to fly you out to Charleston, any plans for how to maybe take those St. Louis-based things outside of St. Louis?
You know, I would love to do that. I think it would be so expensive to do that that I think there would be nobody that would be like, oh my gosh, that's you know, I don't know if I could spend that. You know what I mean? So we really try to keep it reasonable and within the realm of, you know, possibility and just being understanding of, you know, how much things cost and everything else. But yeah, having said that, I would love to do that. I'm hoping that next year, actually, we can do a lot of conventions and meet people and face-to-face and talk about the Atonement Bell and whatever else. But, you know, it's funny. It's like when somebody asks, what are your favorite movies? And you kind of have your mind kind of blanks out a little bit. When you asked me the question about levels, I kind of did that a little bit because we've been working on this for so long that I was trying to think of everything. But, there's the Atonement Bell tote bag. We have that. There's an enamel pin. So yeah, all the really fun, cool stuff that you come to expect from past Kickstarters, that people liked. We brought those back and hopefully, souped them up a little bit.
And what kind of feedback have you gotten on this yet from anybody, if anybody's actually seen it yet?
The feedback, you know, if you would ask anybody that question, they would be foolish to say, oh, it's not been good. But quite honestly, I can tell you that the feedback has been great. I mean, you know, I think a big part of it is working, you know, there's an expectation, like if I write something, it's going to be, it's going to look a certain way, obviously, because Ben and I have worked together for so long. I think people are really surprised that it's different, that it's got such a different feel. And I think it's been really interesting and fun and cool for people to see Raymond's work. People have really been blown away. And I tell Raymond all the time, I'd be like, Raymond, I showed somebody page 3 and they just couldn't, they were just like, so excited about it. And I know Raymond's been joining some people and he's received great feedback. And you know, horror is our thing. That's Raymond's also, it's like, that's our genre, that's the genre that we truly love. And to be able to do a horror comic series, that's a bucket list item. I know for me, for sure. I mean, doing the anthology was wonderful, but the Dead Palace was very all-encompassing. It was like, sci-fi horror and this kind of horror, and, you know, old school horror or new, but this one is straight horror. You know what I mean? It has a quite consistent tone. And it's a 4-issue series, so you get a chance to know the characters and they care about them. And that's what the difference is, I think, for me and for a lot of people. So, yeah, it's great.
So if you were going to get into the horror anthology game again, would you want to just do a story and know that that's it and let somebody else worry about the overall stuff? Or would you want to be in charge of the overall stuff as well?
Well, you know, and I've actually done a lot of that with Ink and Drink Comics here in St. Louis before the Red 5 stuff. They would have, they're a great organization here in St. Louis, and they publish 2 anthologies a year, and each anthology has its own theme. So there'd be like a Western theme, a sci-fi theme, and a horror theme. And that's where I got started with comics, actually, is working with them. And they're so encouraging, and they're so good at what they do, and getting people together and, you know, getting writers together with artists. And they have a thing where we meet, where they would meet, like, they still do this, actually, like once a month. They have these meetings and people could just mingle and hook up and work together and create stories together. So I have had quite a bit of experience doing that. And it's been fun. In fact, I've got one in their Free Comic Book Day issue that's coming out this weekend for Free Comic Book Day. Every Free Comic Book Day, I had this this series called Wolf Bob and Friends, and it's like an all ages monster series, because the books have to be all ages. And this one's called That's What Fiends Are For. So I still do a little bit of that, and it's great. I love working in the anthology format. I think it's fantastic.
And do you see the Atonement Bell having second and third parts like you have with Butcher Queen, or is this going to be 4 or 5 issues depending, and that's it?
I think right now that's it, but as I get into the scripting the individual issues, I did have an idea for something that takes place years later, you know. But the way that I'm looking at this right now, and I think part of the fun of this is looking at it and approaching it like one and done. You know, these 4 issues, it's a contained story, and that's it, you know. And I love it for that. I really love the arc of it. It's got a definite beginning, middle, and end. And I think I would kind of prefer to step back when, you know, it's all out and it's all done, and to see how people react to it and see what the feedback is, and, you know, see where to go from there. But right now for me, it's the Atonement Bell is just its own thing.
And what advice would you have for somebody looking at getting into working in comics?
You know, I would, it seems like every city has an organization or town. You know, I don't want to limit it to just people who live in cities. But I know a lot of cities have clubs or organizations where artists can get together with writers and mingle and just talk about comics and how much they love comics. And I think out of that comes, you know, conversations, friendships, relationships, and that's the best way to start, I think, you know, getting together with other fans that also want to create. And that's how people get started. That's how they, you know, get on the road to being a creator themselves. I think one important thing, or if I had any advice to offer, would be to not be afraid of, you know, going out and proactively going after, you know, like-minded people and starting the conversation about creating things. I also would say that you always want to keep an open mind when it comes to criticism. The best thing that I think I've ever learned is to be open to criticism and to look at it as a great learning opportunity and not as someone taking offense at this or that and being sort of sensitive about it or precious about it. You know, just listening to critical feedback and embracing it in the spirit intended. And that's the best advice I would give probably for people that want to do this.
Well, I know I told you that things hadn't really changed since the last time you were on, but there is one big important thing that has changed now, which I kept as a surprise to you on purpose. Who is your favorite Muppet?
Oh, that's easy. My favorite Muppet is Animal. Animal's my favorite Muppet because I'm a musician. And so it's funny that you asked me this because I actually, when I was a kid, I would have my own puppet show and my own ventriloquist show. And I would put on shows in the neighborhood and I would charge 25 cents to get in and I'd put on a show. And eventually I started getting hired at like local fairs and stuff. And a couple of gigs that I had were at a couple of, what do they call where nuns, Catholic nuns stay?
Convents? Yeah, convents.
I'm sorry.
Kept wanting to say
convent. They would hire me. Right, not convent, but convent. Yeah, and they would hire me to do my puppet show, my ventriloquist show, and then they would show a movie. And they would pay me an ice cream and $10. And growing up, I loved the Muppets. And I really liked Animal because I always felt like I always loved his enthusiasm. Because when I was a kid, I was very shy. I was very introverted. I would stutter. And Animal just let it all hang out, and I loved that. And I loved that he was a drummer, and I love drums. I'm not a drummer myself. I play a little bit, but I'm mostly a bass player. But I just always loved Animal. I loved him so much. Can I offer a second one?
Yes, of course.
Grover. I love Grover. I would give anything to meet Grover in real life. You know, attached to a puppeteer, that's fine. I just love Grover so much. I love his optimism. So Animal and Grover, I think for sure, are my favorites.
That's just a wonderful combination.
Thank you for letting me have two.
Well, it's Muppets. I can't make you pick one. Anybody who can definitively pick one has either thought about it way too much or I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, I went to see the movies when they came out in theaters. You know, my dad took me, and I loved the original Muppet Show. And it's just a huge fan of those guys, man. I mean, what they created, you know, it's still going on today, and it's just magic. It really is.
And finally, what do you want to be when you grow up?
That's a good question. I'm still trying to figure that out. I don't look at myself. I mean, I've got two kids. I'm married. I pay a mortgage, but I still don't feel like I'm grown up. And I think that it's because I still like all the stuff I liked when I was a kid. I still love comic books. I still love Star Wars. I still love horror movies. I still love the Muppets. So it's a hard question to answer. I think right now I just love making stuff for people to enjoy. My goal in life is to leave behind as much stuff as I can that makes people happy. You know what I mean? So I think in a way right now, I'm kind of what I want to be when I grow up. I like making stuff for people.
Well, I hope you never actually grow up.
Right. that's kind of the hope, I guess, is that I never actually grow up.
Well, Jim, it has been great talking to you about all of this, besides the Kickstarter, because obviously that's something that's going to be linked. Where else can people find you on the internet if they want to hear more from you?
I'm on Twitter at Jim Ousley, and I'm on Facebook. I believe that's at Jim Ousley, but you could always look up Butcher Queen or Atonement Bell on either one of those and find me. And I'm on Instagram as at Jim Ousley as well. So I believe so. I know Instagram is at Radio Jimbo. You know, because I have to make it complicated, right?
Well, that's why we're going to have links down in the show notes so people can just click things instead of having to remember.
That's a good idea. Okay.
I like to enable their laziness.
Right. Hey, that helps people like me too, you know, who might be a little disorganized, but yeah, thanks for having me on, man. It's been fun talking to you about all this stuff.
Well, I mean, it's been great having you on here again, and, you know, basically anytime you have something coming out, let me know and we'll make something happen with it.
That'd be great, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
As always, if you want to hear more from me, you can head on over to playcomics.com, where there's links to all the social media things. It's just easier for me to tell you to go there. Mostly you can find me on Twitter, though. If you want to help support the show, you can head on over to playcomics.com/support. I hope you're sensing the theme here of going to playcomics.com for things. And you can, you know, check out links to Patreon or all the other places where you can give me money if you want to, or you can just force the show into other people's ear holes, because that is always a good choice too. Please don't forget that Play Comics is part of the Gunna Geek Network, home to such other wonderful geeky shows that they just make me forget that other adjectives actually exist. If you like the music that I'm rudely talking on top of right now, head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day to check out Best Day's music. But most of all, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics, and go find yourself a new favorite character.